And my name is Mike Corby. I was born on February the 18th, 1940, and I was born in India. I came here in 1948 on April the 4th. I remember it well because it was a foggy day in Tilbury. That's my first experience of being in England. And the first thoughts of sport was, in fact, in 1948, when my father took me to the Olympic Games at Wembley. And it was there, my first event I saw was Harrison Dillard's winning the 100 metres, except he thought he'd come second because Barney Ewell jumped up in the air and went on as if he'd won it. And then over the tannoy came in the first Jeux Olympiques, H. Dillard's, who was in fact a hurdler, won in 1952 the hurdles. And Barney Ewell, we saw dejection from absolute hysteria and enthusiasm. And ever since then, I've actually been determined to get to the Olympic Games. It just happened that I was moderately good at hockey, which took me to the Olympics. And my first Olympics was perhaps the greatest day of my life, October the 10th, 1964, which was the day I walked onto the Olympic Stadium in Tokyo. And it's something I will always, always remember.
What was the atmosphere like there?
The atmosphere there was absolutely quite sensational. It was wonderful because, first of all, we were there. But I remember one thing. A great right half who then became the manager of the England team, and probably the best England manager that I played under, was C.I.M. Jones. Kim Jones, a headmaster, right half, Cambridge Blue, talented and charming, charming man. And I remember him saying something to me, because he rated me as a good hockey player. And I always remember him saying, "Mike, you've got to the Olympics, but don't make the same mistake that I made when I got to Rome. When I got to Rome, I threw away my hockey stick because I thought I'd made it. Don't do the same mistake. Getting to the Olympics is just the start. And now is the moment you actually have to try and really go for it because you are important to us. You are the best, as far as I'm concerned, in our team. I'm going to depend on you, Mike. Now is the time for you to go." Interesting. I've never forgotten that. I tell you another thing about C.I.M. Jones, because he brought me back after I'd been dropped, obviously incorrectly, for 4 years. I never had a trial from 1964 to 1968, when I was world number five at squash and I was incredibly strong and incredibly fit. And I thought perhaps playing some of my finest hockey. He brought me back to the team. And in our first meeting, he told us what we were going to do. I was pushing out the corners. And then, to everybody's amazement and surprise, he said, "Penalty corners, Mike Corby will be pushing out. Penalty strokes, Mike Corby." Everybody laughed, as I did, because I wasn't a pusher of the penalty or a flick taker. I was a crash, bang, wallop. I had a great eye and I could hit anything. And he took it. One of the boys, Keith Sinclair, said, "I normally take the penalty strokes. Why?" He said, "I'm choosing Mike because, unlike any of you here, he plays every day squash. And squash is a one-for-one, man-against-man. And he's used to the ball sitting up and hitting it into the nick or hitting a winner. Mike, you'll be taking the penalty strokes." And I thought that was a very clever thing. I actually said to him, "I can't flick." He said, "Then you'll have to learn." And in fact, I then became, I think, a moderately successful penalty stroke maker. I think I missed one in about 20. So that was quite a good record.
You then played in the 64 Olympics?
I played in the 64 Olympics. I was actually very unlucky because in 1960, I was 20. I was asked to play in Hounslow Hockey Club, at the time the premier hockey team in the country. And the reason I was asked was because I'd played for England schoolboys and I'd also won the Drysdale, which is the world's foremost squash playing cup. Otherwise, I could have played other sports. I won the junior Wimbledon doubles at tennis. I ran athletically for Great England. And I did something else I can't remember. So I did tennis, squash, hockey, athletics, and cricket. I was chosen by the public school boys to play cricket. But after the season finished, it's a bit of a rambling story. I went off to Pamplona, came back. I was then asked by Dickie Dickens to join Hounslow. And that's how I started playing hockey for Hounslow Hockey Club. So after the Tokyo Olympics, what happened? Well, I was just absolutely dropped. I played in the first trial. I hit a ball over the top of the goal. They said it was an open goal, which I'd missed. I was then dropped for 4 years. And then CIM Jones, Kim Jones, brought me back. And then I played every match since then on. I played actually every game from 1960 to 64, both for England and Great Britain. And then every game when I was brought back in 68, 69, up till 72.
Tell me about the Mexico Olympics.
Mexico Olympics was a tragedy. I wasn't selected. I had an argument with Jeff Cutter, who was the then manager, probably the worst manager we've ever produced. We were playing at altitude, and his decision was to take very, very fit people. And he forgot that you need to have somebody who could control and stop and control and keep possession of the ball. I was dropped, but I had an argument with Jeff Cutter. And I always remember that. That was very early on. And he refused to choose me. I refused to give way. And I would advise anybody who ever listens to what I'm saying, don't stand on your hind horses, don't stand for a principle, because you might not get chosen for the 68 Olympics, which I wasn't, as a matter of principle. And now, I can't remember what the principle was.
Yes, very telling.
Yeah, it's telling, telling.
So, when did you come back?
So I came back in 69 with Kim Jones, and then Bill Van Jagnew came on to be the coach for the 72 Olympics. And as a coach, he was a very, very good coach. He was a very good coach for 2 years, from about 69-70 till 72, or till 71. He was a very good coach because he actually selected the correct people. He selected the correct men for the team. He also started the 4-2-4 system, which was an innovation at the time. At that time, I was a playmaker, inside right or right link, etc. But he selected it, and he selected the correct team. However, he then became useless, because the team he'd selected was so good and so strong and so intelligent, we actually sucked him dry of all his intelligence and all his brains and all his ideas. We then needed a new coach, like, say, maybe Horst Wein from Germany, to take us on. But he actually carried on. In essence, he was a little bit... He held us back. And I believe he cost us a medal in 1972. We were the third best team there. We should have got a bronze. He made the most stupid of stupid errors. We were playing New Zealand, who were just about the last team in our division. We just had to beat them or draw. Very poor team. He decided to rest a number of key players. I was captain that day, and I came in at 11:05. Curfew was 11 o'clock. And he decided to make a whatever the word is, of me.
Example
of me. So he dropped me for the next game. And of course, in the team then, we'd lost a lot of character. Winning medals is not necessary talent. It's actually character and determination. And the will to win, the will to never give in. And the team he had out there, he'd lost three or four of the real characters of the 72 Olympics. And we got beaten 1-0, which was a great, very unlucky. Richard Oliver, playing left back, hooked his stick with a New Zealander, pulled the stick apart, and accidentally hit the New Zealander on the head. Olive got sent off, so we played 10 men against 11. We lost 1-0, and that meant we didn't play off for 1-4. Holland came in third. We'd beaten Holland 3-0 in the preliminaries, and an easy 3-0. We weren't anything better than bronze medal, but we were certainly bronze medal. One of my great sadness and regrets of being a hockey player.
What about after the 72 Olympics?
After the 72 Olympics, I still carried on playing. I'd now joined Southgate Hockey Club, and Southgate were probably one of the best teams, the greatest teams that I ever played for. And they were a team rather like Leicester Football Club. They were a team made up of people who liked each other, who were determined to play for each other. It was actually a pleasure every Saturday to go and see your people you played with, who were your friends. And I was the missing link for the 72, after 72 for Southgate. They were a good hockey team, but I came in and I was their missing link. And being conceited, I just lifted them up one notch. I was a holding player, an inside forward, and I played with some of my greatest ever friends, Crow, Eakins, just to mention two.
I interviewed Satinder Kahar earlier.
Sooty.
Yeah. and he explained that when he first had his first cap, you just said, forget the coach, just give me the ball and I'll score. And you did.
Well, Sooty was a great, great halfback playing for Slough. He was a sort of a slim whisper of a man, and what was great about him, as an inside forward, the last thing you want is for a halfback to run with the ball. A halfback has to give the inside forward the ball and then come to join the line, and that's the way you do play. And I suppose as a senior player for the team then, I knew what I wanted. I also actually said to him that I thought he was a great player and that he's going to be brilliant, and I was proud to play with him. But I was also wanting to get the ball, because if you're a player, you can't help but want the ball. And people who play hockey or any sport don't want the ball, don't have them in your team. You must have the ball, because this is an arena where you know you're good. And if you know you're good, you can't help but express yourself. And as a hockey player, I always had my own maxim, give me the ball and I will then use it. But I also had the thoughts, nobody on the pitch was allowed to have the ball within 5 yards of me. It was my ball. And if the opposition had it, I just took it away from them. Is that conceited?
A little.
It's an interesting example. But actually, you say conceit and arrogance actually drive people on. You have to have a belief in your own ability. But a belief in your own ability is no good unless you have a belief in the team and that you can play within the confines of the team. And if you don't, you will very soon be ostracized and out. Luckily, my greatest friends are Eakins and Crowe and Cotton and Chris Lang, who I played for with Hounslow. Probably one of the great, great players.
Were you playing in the Southgate team that won the European?
We played, I came in and we won three of the things, and three European championships, and we came third the next time. Roger Self was the manager. And I always remember talking to him, because he called us in, we brought him in, Jimmy Neal brought him in, an interesting character, we won't go into him now, but he was quite determined to win. So he actually got me to come and play for Southgate. He then got in Roger Self, who had been a successful manager for Wales. And I always remember that after our first meeting at Lillishall or Loughborough, I can't remember where, we'd all met on the Friday, and Self said, I want to have the four pros, Eakins, Crowe, Neil and Corby, we're going to talk. We went to the pub and we talked. He then character assassinated Eakins, Crowe and Neil, and then he gave me stick. Corby, you will do this, you will do that, I'm in charge, never forget that, Corby, this and that. He got me and he finished speaking. And I said to him, Roger, Mr. Self, my name is Michael Corby, or Mr. Corby. Don't ever call me Corby again. Don't ever speak to me like that again. And unless you apologize now, I'm leaving. Give him credit. He apologized. We worked well together. But I believe that a manager or a coach or anybody has to be part of a team. He mustn't be a dictator. If you get a dictator in there, he actually destroys the team. All games are based on talent, enthusiasm, and competitiveness. Those are the three things that you need as a sportsman. Well, if you want to be a great sportsman, you have to have speed and the ability to play under pressure. Roger Self, very fine coach. Not as good as everybody makes out, but he was 5% of the Southgate hockey team, and the rest was made up equal portions by the other players.
So how long did you play for? When did you finish?
My first ever international was the season of 1960-61, and I played for England v Wales at Cardiff Arms Park. I'm not sure. I know I scored one goal. It might have been two. Rex Lynn was the other inside forward, and I got a pass from FHV Davis, Howard Davis, arguably one of the two greatest centre-halves I've ever played with, the other being A.H. Eakins, called the Ox, Tony Eakins. Eakins was not as good a hockey player as Howard Davis. Howard Davis was talented, wonderful, but Eakins had something else. Nobody ever got past him. He was a rock in the middle. I don't know who I'd choose in my first team. My first team was, in fact, as I said, it was Cardiff in 1960-61 season, and my last international was the 1979-1980 season, or 78-79, which is 20 years, which apparently should be a record, or is a record. And I give David Vincent credit for that. He decided to go for youth, and he chose his youth team to go to Hanover to play in the European Cup. And then, since he knew me well at Southgate, he'd seen me played and was a great advocate of mine, he brought me in against all the publicity and all against all the wishes and the views of every pundit in the game. My last international having been 79. And he brought me in, and I was now 39. And I was there to give them a bit of balance and hold the ball and look after things, which apparently I did. And the outcome is we won the bronze medal. So David's, give him credit, David's decision was borne out. If it hadn't, he'd have been made a laughing stock.
Did you retire after that?
I never retired at all. I just wasn't chosen. I played for Southgate, and David Vinson again was in charge of Southgate and decided to carry on playing, to have a youth policy. I think I was easily best, good enough. That's arrogance or conceit, but you have to believe in yourself. Easily good enough to certainly play in the club side. But David decided not to choose me. And quite frankly, I think everybody else was embarrassed to choose me in the second 11. So I wasn't chosen, so I'm still available.
Still waiting for the call.
Still waiting for the call. Got my kit in the back. Got my kit in the car. But you know, you can say whatever you like. I hope I don't come across as too arrogant and conceited, but I love the game. All my greatest friends are hockey players. I've played a lot of sports. I played for internationally five sports as a schoolboy. And I played squash for England and Great Britain and was considered a better than average squash player. But for anybody who listens to this in years to come, hockey's the best game I've played. I'm not sure whether golf is a better game now. I'm playing off eight. But hockey, they're the boys. They're good, good people. And just, if you listen, play the game.
Thank you very much, Mike Corby. Great honour to speak to you.